speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Fake news. You know, as a young boy, I loved whenever the 6 o'clock news would come on of a night. And I remember early on not so much being impressed with the news, that is, how they were reporting things, but my interest was around the weather. For many, many years, I wanted to be a meteorologist. I'm not sure exactly why, but I've always been fascinated by the news and the weather specifically. And with regard to that, I remember wanting to watch storms as they were coming in and how that the forecasters would say that this storm might be quite severe, could even be violent, and watching the clouds as they would roll in just fascinated me. And then during the winter time, growing up in Indiana and going out to school, I couldn't wait for those snows to start falling and to hear the weather forecast about how much snow you were going to get, and then thinking all night long, are we going to get out of school the next day? And then there was that point where that I kind of lost my interest in the weather, still somewhat there, I guess, but at the same time, I took more of an interest into the first part of the news, and that is where they were reporting on what was taking place worldwide and even nationally and even locally. And I began to focus upon the things that were taking place from a world standpoint. Why? Because I was a local boy in a small town in Indiana, and to find out what was going on across the ocean was just fascinating to me. To be able to hear things that people were doing on a world level just was unreal to my mindset. And then even to think about things that were taking place in our nation, places that I had never been. And then I'll be quite honest with you, even back years ago, to hear the things that were going on in our local news, in our local surroundings, scared me from time to time, how that kids were being abducted, how that people were being murdered, how that banks were being robbed, and first one thing and then another. And you know, yet at the same time, while I was scared, I guess you would say out of my wits on some of that, I was grateful to be able to be informed, to know that people were sharing with me and with the world things that we needed to know, things that was considered to be of value, important to our lives. And I remember, though, at some point hearing about the propaganda in the world news from other countries, how that the reporters in these other countries were twisting matters, how that they were not necessarily sharing to their citizens the truth of things that were really and truly going on. But rather, they were changing bits and pieces of the information to meet whatever their goals were in their liberal views of the society or of the government of which was over them in these other parts of the world. And friends, then, I remember also, though, at one segment in my teenage years, hearing those of the political realm, and it might even have been a president back then, saying is that we're not hearing the truth always presented to us whenever our news media speaks to us. And I remember thinking to myself, what do you mean they're not telling us the truth? Doesn't it mean that whenever you're reporting the news is that you're just giving the facts? Is that you're just sharing what in reality has happened? That's what real news is all about, is it not? You know, we're hearing more and more over the last several years about fake news. In the newspapers, we're being fed a bunch of things that are not true, but at the same time, we're still hearing, read all about it. Whenever it comes to the things that we're hearing and seeing on our television sets, we're left to question, is this really and truly the case, or is this a twisted narrative that liberals want us to hear that they might lead us down a path that they have for a nation or for a certain group of people? This morning, I want us to think about fake news, and above all, If you get anything at all out of this lesson, number one is that I do not want us to be contributors as Christians to fake news. You know, believe it or not, it is a daily occurrence that we are hearing about fake news. Why is that? I believe it's because we are finding is that the narrative has been twisted time and time again. Some of it is against our president. Other parts of that is against those of us who are conservatives. It's also against those of us who claim to be Christians, and those of us who believe in our God. They're speaking down on us and they're twisting things time and time again to come against us. And for the largest part of me, I can't understand why. As Christians, we do not hate anyone, but yet at the same time, it appears as if we're living in a world, in a time, where that we are not liked and even sometimes hated by people of this world who do not hold to or value the same views that we hold to and value in our relationship with our God. You know, who's responsible for sharing fake news? In a very large way, I believe that the liberal media resources, they are the major contributors. People such as CNN or MSNBC and ABC, a lot of these have been called out. And in fact, they've been put on the spot and challenged. And it's been revealed is that they have been twisting narratives to fit their agenda or to fit some other agenda that we find in life. And we're not surprised whenever it comes to the liberal media that they're doing that, and we shouldn't be surprised also, is that a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, political figures oftentimes, they go to these tactics in order to win elections. Take into consideration, oftentimes what they will do is that they'll run negative ads. And if there are negative things to be shared, that's one thing. But at the same time, a lot of times what we are finding is that they will share these negative ads with condescending words that will twist the truth or will be out and out lies. And why do they do that? Because they're running against someone in hopes of being able to steal an election or to gain the popular vote so that they will be able to serve and to gain as a result of people casting a vote for them. And you know, we expect this from the world, do we not? If we don't, we should, because that's the type of world of which we live in. And God tells us that whenever it comes to the world is that expect anything. Anything's open whenever it comes to the world. We expect that from the world. But from Christians, we should not. Yet at the same time, it is possible that Christians can get caught up in this devilish work. And I define it as a devilish work because Satan is behind anything and everything that is worldly and ungodly. And whenever it comes to fake news, this is worldly and it is certainly ungodly. And Christians can get caught up in this. And why do Christians get caught up into this? Because sometimes Satan has his place in their lives. Satan will come in and he will influence the mind and he will get Christians sometimes get caught up in the things of this world, and fake news is also a part of what we are experiencing today amongst the world. And Christians get caught up in those things as well. You know, this morning I want us to understand is that it's nothing new. It is now as it was even back then, years and years ago. I take into consideration Abraham. We look to Abraham, and sometimes we even refer to him as Father Abraham. Why? Because he is the father, if you would, of the Jewish nation, and it's through him that Jesus Christ came into this world, and we look to him as a man of great faith, and we praise him for the faith that he had. And yet at the same time, we know that there were negative aspects of his life where he was not always a perfect individual. He sinned against our God. And in fact, on one occasion, Abraham twisted the truth about Sarah, his wife, as they were coming into Egypt. And he realized that the Pharaoh was going to want his wife Sarah. Why? Because she was a very beautiful lady. And therefore, as they're going into Egypt, he says, you know, whenever the Pharaoh requests in regard to who you are, you tell him that you're my sister. He didn't want them knowing that she was his wife. Why? Because he feared for his life, and therefore he twisted it. Well, you say, what do you mean he twisted it? She was indeed his sister, his half-sister. But he didn't want Pharaoh to think that she was just his half-sister, but rather that she was his flesh and blood sister, that she was his whole sister, and therefore that's what he had her to say. And as a result of that, doom and devastation came upon Pharaoh and upon his household. And the truth eventually came out. Friends, we also, in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 34, Genesis chapter 27 verses 19 through verse 24, are given an instance in the context of the Old Testament Scripture where that Jacob, if you would, pulled the wool over Isaac's eyes about Esau. The birthright belonged to Esau. But yet at the same time, Jacob wanted it. And he knew in this context that his brother is starving. He's very hungry. And therefore, Jacob offers his brother a pot of stew in exchange for his birthright. And guess what? He gets it. And then he tricks his father into believing that he is Esau. Friends, he twisted it. Why? Because he wanted something that really and truly did not belong to him. We fast forward into the New Testament Scripture, and there's a lot of illustrations that we could give in regard to fake news as it is even presented there. But I want to draw our attention to Acts chapter 5 with a man by the name of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. The context of Scripture, if you go back into chapter 3, we have a good man. A man who served as an encourager to Christians then, and even to Christians today. His life is a legacy that shows us that we need to be encouragers amongst our world today. And that man is Barnabas. Barnabas, it is said in the context of Scripture, in chapter 3 of Acts, realized that there were needs of the people of that day, and therefore he sold his possession. He sold land, and he laid it before the church, and it is used for the good and the glory of our God. Then you come into Acts chapter 4, or Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, we meet Ananias and Sapphira. And this husband and wife also sold land, and they take a portion of the price that they've sold the land for, and they lay it before the feet of the apostles. And somebody might say, well, with that, what's wrong with that? I mean, they're just following what maybe the others have done, Barnabas and others. And in this, though, whenever they lay the portion before, they make it sound as if it's not just a portion, but rather that it's everything. That every dollar that they got out of the sale of the land, they're laying it before the apostles for the use of the church. Friends, that was a lie. And God identifies as that not only was it a lie unto the apostles, but that context of Scripture says that they lied unto the Holy Spirit. They lied unto our God. Both Ananias and Sapphira, their life was taken as a result of that. And friends, a very negative picture is given in regard to those matters. As all of that, if you read it on in the context beyond what you read about Ananias and Sapphira, you're going to find is that great fear came upon the church. Why would great fear come upon the church? Because we see church discipline there in an ultimate manner. We don't kill people today whenever they do things like that, but we call them out for that. Amen? And we must deal with them. In that context, in the first century, this man and woman lost their life because the fact of their sin, and liars today will stand before God to give an account, and the Scripture says that they will be cast into the lake of fire. We also, as we study about Jesus, know is that there were accusers who came to put Him on trial, and they wanted so much. If you explore the life of Jesus, the life and teachings of Jesus as we are on Wednesday nights, class, how often have we come across is that they plotted against Him? How many times have we read that they wanted to destroy Him? How many times have we seen in our study is that they wanted to kill Jesus time and time again? And were they able to really and truly come up with a justified reason to kill Jesus? Absolutely not. Why? Because the Scripture says that He did no sin, neither was any guile found in His mouth. Well, what does that mean? He never violated the law of God, nor did He violate the law of man. He lived legally and He lived righteously while He was here in this world. And therefore, in order for them to get Jesus, they had to make up things about Him. You say they had a narrative that they had come up with that was going to put Him on the cross. And therefore, they had to get people who were willing to testify against Him, and it would be false testimony, and it was, in order to get Jesus. So friends, God shows us is that as it is now, it's no different than it was back in the Old Testament times and even in the New Testament times. We're seeing the same thing that they saw back then, and we're seeing it now in our news and in everyday walk of life. There's a platform that people are following who share fake news. People lie oftentimes to cover up their ungodly behavior. That was the case all the way back in the Old Testament Scripture with Peter and John. These men were men who were standing for God. And yet at the same time, the Sanhedrin Council and others came against them with false positions, with things that were certainly not true, and they were ordering these men no longer to preach and to teach concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because the things that Jesus stood for and the message that these men, Peter and John and others, were proclaiming was in the face of those individuals. And therefore, they were bringing this false narrative. They were bringing false news, if you would, against the apostles in that day to cover up their ungodly behaviors. Sometimes people lie to destroy their opposition. I'm reminded of Psalm 109 in verse 2, where David, in verse 1, he says, "Lord, speak out, no longer remain silent." He says, "Those who are wicked, they're speaking against me." The idea that he identifies these individuals as wicked, it shows us is that they were not people of God, but rather they were people of Satan. They were working because Satan was working in their life. He says, those who are wicked, they speak out against me. And the idea that he says that they're doing this against him means that they were out to destroy him. That's still the same today, is it not? The liberal media wants to destroy, it seems anyway, Christianity and conservative people. One politician against another. It's not just about win. You know, in this, may the best man or woman win. It doesn't matter to me if it's Democrat or Republican. I've said before, as Christians, we vote like Christians. Amen? And may the best man or woman win. But friends, they're going to tactics that are far and beyond in regard to just winning an election because they're the best candidates out there. People spread vicious lies to advance their agenda. How many times have we heard in the news and in the papers we've read and such how that the homosexual community is to be accepted, and here's why, and that Christians are to be blasted because we stand and we say that these individuals are not acceptable to God. They have an agenda that says, you know, if we can silence those who are conservative, if we can silence those who are Christians, then we can promote whatever cause we want to promote. Friends, also people lie because of their bias. And I got to thinking about this idea about a bias, and the only individual immediately any way that came to my mind was Peter. How that Peter, being a Jew himself, and remember whenever salvation is extended to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul was the primary apostle working amongst the Gentiles, taking God's message of Christ to them, and it's though Peter, who we find in Acts chapter 10, he baptizes the first Gentile in his household, Cornelius and his household. And yet at the same time, Paul was working mostly amongst the Gentiles. And Peter knew that, and Peter was working mostly amongst the Jews. In Galatians chapter 2, though, we find that Paul and Peter are in the same place, and they're doing some great work amongst the Gentiles, encouraging them. That is, until the Jews show up. And then Peter goes in favor of the Jews. And he won't give, if you would, the Gentiles the time of day. That aggravated the Apostle Paul, and Paul says that he withstood him to the face. Well, what does that mean? It means that he got in his face and he said, "What are you doing? You're showing preference to the Gentiles, to the Jews. And the Gentiles are also children of God. You can't do that. And as Christians, we cannot have a bias. Why? Because our God is not a respecter of persons. Our God looks at all of us, no matter if we're white or black, no matter if we're American, Hispanic, or Australian, or such. We're all a soul in the sight of God, but still at the same time, we're finding is that people are spreading lies because they have a biased position. Why do people believe and buy into these lies or fake news? Some people buy into fake news simply because they're ignorant. Let me explain that. I'm not calling anybody stupid. Whenever God uses the word ignorant, what He means is that they're unlearned, they're uneducated. I'm going to be quite frank with you. There are some times, whenever you listen to the news, is that they will present a believable story. I mean, they're very good about tying everything together, presenting everything in a logical way, and cutting from one section of a statement and putting it over here to make it sound as if the person really and truly said something that they did not say. I've been caught up in that before. And it's because of ignorance, because I was not learned in regard to the situation or what was going on in regard to the things that were being reported. Sometimes, though, I believe that God even shows us is that people embrace lies because they are gullible. You know a gullible person, don't you? They'll believe anything. I used to be like that even whenever it was on the news. I said, well, it's the news. Surely to goodness, it's got to be true. Somebody said it, so that makes it a fact. They wouldn't lie. I wouldn't have lied to somebody, so that's what I expected out of everybody. I was gullible at the time, just buying into whatever somebody was saying without investigating it myself. Sometimes God shows us is that people are delusional and they can't see the truth. That's why we have all that we have in the denominational world today. The Bible teaches only one thing, and that is the doctrine of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, there's well over 2,400 different religious schools of thought. In fact, some take it all the way up into 30,000 something. And you say, well, what do you mean they're delusional? Remember in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and verse 12, Paul, in writing to the saints in Thessalonica there on the second occasion, he says that because people will not believe the truth, God will send them strong delusions that they might believe a lie. Somebody says, well, why in the world would God do that? Doesn't He want people to come unto a knowledge of the truth? Absolutely He does. But at the same time, remember what happened with Pharaoh? Back in the Old Testament Scripture, whenever Moses and Aaron appeared before the Pharaoh of that day, and they were going to lead Israel out, and they appeared before the Pharaoh and says, listen, God, the God of Abraham and of Isaac, the God of the Jews, has sent us that we might take Israel and lead them into the land of Canaan, unto the promised land. And the Scripture identifies to us in the onset. It says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. It doesn't say God did it, but it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. And he didn't let them go initially. And that's why we find the 10th plague. It's because finally God says, enough's enough.
And note what is said in that context. It says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Somebody says, what do you mean God hardened his heart? Friends, as I read that, I interpret it this way. Pharaoh's heart was set on saying, I'm not going to let the people go. You can do whatever you want, and God, if you want to do it, you do it. I'm not going to let them go. His heart is hardened to that point. No matter what, and God says, Pharaoh, if that's what you want, you're going to pay the piper now. Believe it. And friends, the same, I believe, is true with regard to the things that people find today in the world, religiously or in the world in general, is that they don't want to really and truly know the truth, because if they did, they'd investigate it. They're just going to buy into whatever's out there. And God says, if that's what you want, you know, if you change your mind, I'm here. But if that's what you want, I will send you strong delusions. I'll let you keep on hearing this craziness. And you can buy into it. But also, some people's beliefs are tied to their emotions. They want so much to believe this or that. And whatever an agenda is, maybe they're sold on that agenda. Or on a school of thought that is prevalent in the world today. And they say, I can't believe that God would do this or that. Or I can't believe that my fellow man is like this or that. And therefore, they're driven by emotions rather than being driven by the things that are factual. You see, this morning, God warns us. He gives us even examples about fake news and about the times of which we live into, is not to be duped, but rather to be wise. And therefore, I want to conclude with some final direction for us. And church, above all, what I believe God wants us to realize is that we cannot, we must not believe everything that we hear. Why? Because not everyone's like us. Not everyone believes in God and holds to His values. Not everyone goes out of the way to be upright and honest and to be truthful. That's the world that we live in. And therefore, don't believe everything that you hear. Question it. Investigate it to the very best that you possibly can. And make your decisions and your stands based off of what God says and out of the truth that has been revealed. But friends, also, don't share everything that you see and that you hear. How many in here is on Facebook? I know there's more than that. I'm friends with y'all. A lot of us are on Facebook. I try to post once a day of a morning, try to make it about God and about things that we need to be thinking about, not only with the church, with people that I'm friends with all over the world. And occasionally of an evening I'll get on and kind of see the way this has gone or that's gone. Sometimes things that I post will get into a discussion. Sometimes in directions I never even thought of, to be quite honest with you. And in that too, sometimes I'll come across something that somebody has posted that'll say, just read all about it. Breaking news. And it'll be something that is just totally off the wall. And sometimes, admittedly, I've looked at that and I'm like, wow, really? And other times I've looked at that and I'm like, wow, really? You can't believe that. And what really gets my goat is sometimes I've seen where that fake news that is on Facebook or social media as a whole. Facebook's good in the sense that we get to like things and we don't get to like things, right? I think you've got a like button, you've got a heart button, you've got a, this look like, I can't believe this. And then you've got this frowny look. And then you've got the comment thing where you can comment, and then you've got another little button. What is that? It's share. I've shared a lot of things that you guys have given out there because you're God-based. You put some good things out there. But you know, a lot of times, fake news even gets shared on Facebook. And if I share something, you share something, because of our position with God, guess what people are more apt to do? They're more apt to believe it. Why? Because we're not like that. And therefore, we need to make sure that we're investigating, we're checking all the ins and outs to things that people are sharing with us before we share it and later come back to regret it. But then also, I believe God wants us to think with regard to this fake news lesson today is that we do not want to jeopardize everything that we represent. We are Christians. And therefore, before we click share, before we praise someone for something that is a lie, that is not true, we've got to come back and to say, how is this going to affect me and my relationship with God? Is it going to constitute sin? Sin that God will require me to repent of. Also, is it going to put me in a light in the world or amongst the church that is within question or that is going to bring negative response unto the body of Christ, reproach upon the Lord's church? You say, Kevin, what are you saying? Fake news. It's real. It's a real thing. I know, fake, real. That is real. It's out there. You can't get away from it. But as Christians, we must know that, investigate it, and above all, don't be contributors in spreading fake news. We are to live upright and godly lives in every step of the day, in every step of the way. We love you. Thank you for being here. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation today, we want to extend His call today. If you're outside of Christ, we want to invite you to become a Christian, to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that you might be forgiven of your sin and that you might be added by the Lord immediately unto the Lord's kingdom. But also, if we have those who are Christians and have erred in any way, and you stand in need of the prayers today of the church, we will pray with you and for you. If you're subject to this call, please come and